From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Listener, how are you today? It's nice to meet you again with me, Rahma, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information starting from news from across the country, and so forth. Also, there are Indonesian pop songs. Well, listener, let's begin with the news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, on the frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id, and RRI Playgo mobile app.
This is Voice of Indonesia with the news. First, the headlines. Indonesia calls on the United Nations to reform multilateral system. Indonesian National Development Planning Agency affirms synergy is needed to resolve financing gap for achieving SDGs. Now the news in detail. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi on Thursday urged the United Nations to reform the current multilateral system to build a more peaceful and prosperous world. She made the statement during the Summit of the Future preparatory ministerial meeting, which was held on the sidelines of the 78th UN General Assembly in New York, the United States. During a press briefing broadcast on the Foreign Affairs Ministry's YouTube channel on Friday, September the 22nd, she remarked that the Summit of the Future, scheduled to take place in September next year, aims to accelerate global collaboration to face challenges and create a better future. The minister expressed the hope that the summit would result in the Pact of the Future, which is expected to help countries establish a better multilateral architecture for the sake of ensuring peace and prosperity for all. The Indonesian National Development Planning Agency has highlighted the need for synergy in resolving the financing gap for achieving the Sustainable Development Goals, or SDGs, in Indonesia. The effort from the government alone is not enough. Therefore, mobilization, innovation, and synergy are needed to close the financing gap. Manager for the Economic Development Pillar at the agency's SDGs National Secretariat, Setio Budiantoro, conveyed this at a webinar on SDGs on Friday, as reported by Antara. He also said that the financing gap poses a challenge to the achievement of the SDGs in Indonesia and the world because the budget needed for achieving the goals has increased since the COVID-19 pandemic. Indonesian Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy has provided business development assistance for 18 tourism villages in 11 provinces of Indonesia. The assistance, both in the form of cash and financial literacy mentoring, aims to improve the quality of human resources, creative economy products, and tourism destinations so that tourist visits quality can increase and be more sustainable. Indonesian Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy, Sandiaga Salahuddin Uno, stated this on Friday as quoted by Antara. He also stated that the assistance will support tourism village managements in developing the potential of existing tourist attractions and improving local, micro, small, and medium enterprises engaged in the creative economy. Executive Director of the Institute for Development of Economics and Finance, or INDEF Indonesia, Tauhid Ahmad, hopes that the Archipelagic and Island States Forum Summit to be held in Nusa Dua, Bali, from October 10th to 11th, will reach an agreement to boost coastal tourism. The agreement can be in the form of facilitating the flow of tourism services between countries, ease of issuing visas, recommendations for hotels and restaurants, and comparative studies among archipelagic and island states countries in a bid to study coastal tourism. Tauhid Ahmad also said that this cooperation can be in the form of tourism packages that can bring foreign exchange not only to Indonesia, but also to these archipelagic and island states countries. He noted that the summit can be a promotional event for coastal tourism in Indonesia. Some representatives from 51 island and archipelagic countries will attend the Archipelagic and Island States Bali Summit with a target of 25 heads of state and government and 30 to 47 ministerial-level officials. This news broadcast is coming your way from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Britain's King Charles and Queen Camilla have just wrapped up their long-awaited state visit to France, spending their final day in the southwest of the country. As reported by CNN.com on Friday, while in Bordeaux, a region with deep historical ties to Britain, the couple toured a Royal Navy frigate, met local business owners, and learned about the devastating impact of last year's wildfires. Outside of Paris, Bordeaux was one of the worst-affected cities when major protests over pension reforms erupted 6 months ago, leading to the postponement of the royal visit. Charles and Camilla instead flew to Germany. Bahrain landmarks and vital facilities lit up in green color and hoisted Saudi Arabia's national flag in a nod to the kingdom's 93rd National Day, which is observed on September the 23rd. As reported by ArabNews.com, on September the 23rd, Bahraini citizens also joined in the celebration by decorating their cars with the Saudi flag and holding special events, programs, and celebrations. The festivities held across the country reflected the depth of the solid, deep-rooted fraternal Bahraini-Saudi relations. Last item. Vietnam is ready to help Bangladesh ensure food security as evidenced by the extension of an MOU on rice trade until 2027, visiting Vietnamese National Assembly Chairman Phuong Dinh Hu said during a meeting with Bangladeshi President Mohammed Sahabuddin on Friday. As reported by VOVWorld.vn yesterday, Vietnam can also export items that Bangladesh needs, such as agricultural machinery, home appliances, electronics, and processed seafood. Phuong Dinh Hu said, adding that there is potential for the two countries to cooperate in aquaculture, agriculture, science and technology education, and climate change response. President Sahabuddin encouraged Vietnamese businesses to invest in Bangladesh and supported the opening of a direct air route between the two countries. The two sides agreed that mutual trust and understanding have been strengthened. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Angkasa wan RRI.
This is news from across Indonesia. The first news comes from Lubuk Basung, West Sumatra. Thousands of people in Baso District, Agam Regency, West Sumatra, attended Nagari Tabe Panjang Art Show 2023, featuring a 200-year-old traditional musical instrument called Gandang Tigo, which has been around since 1830. Wali Nagari or village head of Tabe Panjang, Doni Suhendri, on Wednesday said that the festival was being held for the second time. Apart from Gandang Tigo, the two-day festival also featured dozens of art groups, local dance and song competitions, Rebana and Tambua festivals, and allegorical parades. Gandang Tigo is a percussion instrument resembling another traditional musical instrument, the talempong, but with a unique tone and can only be played at local special events, such as the appointing of traditional figures called Penghulu, Ale Nagari Gathering, and the Grand Harvest. Besides Gandang Tigo, a traditional Minangkabau head covering called a Tingkulua, claimed to be 200 years old, was also displayed. Apart from the art exhibition, the Tabe Panjang village government also submitted Gandang Tigo as a nominee for intangible cultural heritage along with the Ikan Sakti Sungai Janiah tourist attraction in the local area. The next news comes from Magelang, Central Jawa. The University of Indonesia provided assistance to Kampung Dolanan Nusantara in Sodongan Hamlet Bumiharjo Village, Borobudur District, Magelang Regency, Central Jawa, which is one of the traditional communities that has succeeded in recollecting the arts and traditions of the past. Head of the Makara Arts Center of the university, Dr. Ngatawi Alzastro, said that efforts to assist traditional communities need to be carried out because regional art and culture are currently still rare objects. In fact, according to him, if used properly, art can be a medium of education for the community and even a commercial product that can revive their economy. Alzastro said that this activity aims to invite the public to participate in preserving Indonesian culture. The Makara Art Center of University of Indonesia and Kampung Dolanan Nusantara collaborated with various partners and featured various local arts including Kubro Siswa Dance and Angklung Music Performance. The last news comes from the special region of Yogyakarta. UNESCO designated the Yogyakarta Philosophical Axis as one of Indonesia's World Heritage at the 45th session of the World Heritage Committee in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia on Monday, September the 18th. The Yogyakarta Philosophical Axis, stated on the UNESCO World Heritage List with its full title, The Cosmological Axis of Yogyakarta and its Historic Landmarks, is recognized as a World Heritage because it is considered to have universal significance. The concept of special planning, which became known as the Yogyakarta Philosophy Axis, was first coined by the first king of the Ngayogyakarta Hadiningrat Sultanate, Sri Sultan Hamengkubuwono I, in the 18th century. This special concept takes the form of straight road structure that stretches between Panggung Krapia to the south, Kraton Yogyakarta Palace, and Tugu Yogyakarta Monument to the north. The structure of the road along with several areas around it with their full philosophical symbolism is the embodiment of the Japanese philosophy on human existence. That was news from across Indonesia.
We begin today in history with an event on September 24, 1932, about the unification of Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia is one of the biggest countries in the Middle East and has become the regional power in the area. However, before it became as big as now, Saudi Arabia was once split into four different regions, each named Hejaz, Najd, Al-Hasa, and Asir. The unification of Saudi Arabia was declared on September 23, 1932. The unification movement began in 1902, and it was carried out by Ibn Saud, who also became the first king of Saudi Arabia. The unification began with the territory controlled by Riyadh, which is believed to be the ancestral land of the Saud family. Now Saudi Arabia is one of the countries to be reckoned with because the country is the largest oil exporter in the world. Let's move on to September 23, 1964, about National Maritime Day. The first president of the Republic of Indonesia, Sukarno, issued Decree No. 249, 1964, regarding the induction of September 23 as the National Maritime Day. This is in line with his determination to make Indonesia successful as a maritime country. Quoting the official website of the Indonesian Ministry of Communication and Informatics, the determination of National Maritime Day was based on the first Maritime National Conference, which took place on September 23, 1964. National Maritime Day aims to make people aware of the great potential that Indonesia has as a maritime country. We end today in history with an event on September 23rd about International Day of Sign Language. September 23rd was chosen as International Day of Sign Language because it is the founding date of the World Federation of the Deaf in Helsinki, Finland, in 1951. The United Nations General Assembly declared it as International Day of Sign Language in 2017. This day was created based on an initial request from the World Federation of the Deaf. The aim of establishing the day is to raise awareness about sign language and strengthen its status not only within the deaf community. Based on data from the World Federation of the Deaf, currently more than 80% of deaf people live in developing countries. Collectively, they use more than 300 different sign languages. That was Today in History from Voice of Indonesia.
Summer has come and passed. The innocent can never last. Wake me up when September ends. Like my father's come to pass, 7 years has gone so fast. Wake me up when September ends. Here comes the rain again, falling from the stars, drenched in my pain again, becoming who we are. As my memory rests, but never forgets what I lost. Wake me up when September ends.
Me up when September. Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia is on Minister of Finance Sri Mulyani says Indonesia's economy is quite solid and under control. Indonesian Minister of Finance Sri Mulyani Indrawati said Indonesia's economic conditions were still quite solid and under control even though it was faced with global shocks and weakness. Amid fluctuations in the world economy, Indonesia's economic growth in the third quarter is predicted to continue to develop positively, supported by controlled inflation, a trade balance surplus, and improving people's purchasing power. The Minister of Finance, in the online press conference on state budget on Wednesday, September the 20th, estimated that Indonesia's economic growth in the third quarter will remain above 5%. She explained that until August 2023, Indonesia's Manufacturing Purchasing Managers Index, or PMI, continued to strengthen and was in the expansive zone at level 53.9, better than China, Japan, the United States, and Europe. This achievement has increased compared to June 2023, which was at the level of 52.5. In addition, the trade balance also continued to be in surplus for 40 consecutive months, even though exports and imports were still experiencing a downward trend. The trade balance surplus in August was $3.12 billion. The accumulated trade balance surplus from January to August 2023 is $24.34 billion. On the other hand, the domestic inflation rate is under control, supported by stable food inflation. Inflation in August was recorded at -0.02% month-to-month, 1.43% year-to-date, or 3.3% year-on-year. Minister Sri Mulyani said that Indonesia's inflation showed a fairly good level compared to Asian and G20 countries. Indonesia's inflation is relatively a moderately low situation. Meanwhile, Indonesia's domestic economic activity still shows resilience and sustained recovery. Public optimism is quite high at the level of 125.25. The government ensures the presence and role of the state revenue and expenditure budget to protect people's welfare and maintain economic stability in the face of economic dynamics. The budget, as a driving force as well as a safety tool, is expected to accelerate economic growth, protect and provide real benefits for society. Minister Sri Mulyani emphasized that a healthy and strong state revenue and expenditure budget can protect people and maintain Indonesia's economic momentum to continue to grow and recover. However, vigilance remains at the forefront because global conditions will slowly and surely have an impact on the budget and national economy. So, according to the Minister of Finance, Indonesia must continue to maintain the health of the state revenue and expenditure budget and the economy by continuing to calibrate economic movements and global dynamics. That was My Indonesia Today.
Bicara tentang hari ini.
datang temuimu.
This is Voice of Indonesia, the overseas broadcasting service of Radio Republik Indonesia. Now we present you Indonesian Wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Listener, here is Indonesian Wonder. Do you know Megono? Megono is a dish specifically from Central Java that is made from pieces of young jackfruit mixed with seasoned grated coconut to create a savory taste. Megono originally came from the Pekalongan Regency, North Java. Then it expands to Pekalongan Regency, Batang Regency, Wonosobo Regency, and Temanggung Regency. Listener, the historical and cultural values begin the creation of Megono as a dish for warriors. Megono comes from the Javanese merga, which means because, and ana, which means because, and ana, which means exist. This dish is based on a dish that was given to the Mataram Sultanate warriors under the Bahu Reksa leadership, who wanted to fight against the VOC in Batavia in 1628. The wars caused struggles for the people's economy. At a time when a group of Mataram troops entered the Pekalongan district to rest in a tired and hungry condition, the residents worked together to collect food from every house to give to the troops who were starving. Because of the difficulty, residents took the initiative to look for vegetables, and all they found were young jackfruit, which is widely planted by residents in Pekalongan. In a short time, young jackfruit is prepared, simply seasoned with grated coconut. Since then, this meal has been called Megono. Even though it is a simple food, young jackfruit is believed to be able to strengthen the body's immunity and is a source of antioxidants, which are useful for strengthening the physical strength of troops fighting at war at the time. Listener, to make Megono is not difficult. The young jackfruit is peeled and then chopped or finely sliced into small pieces, then put into a container. Next, just add finely chopped grated coconut, shallots, garlic, coriander, candle nuts, shrimp paste, kencur, red chilies, lemongrass, melinjo leaves, bay leaves, lime leaves, and spices, and stir until evenly mixed, then steam for about 40 minutes to 1 hour, until the jackfruit becomes soft and the flavors are observed. The ripe color and main taste of Megono is influenced by the spices used, and usually when it is ripe, it is brownish yellow. The savory taste produced is influenced by the grated coconut provided. Listener, nowadays the Megono serving is usually accompanied by white rice, black cooked squid, boiled egg, mendoan, orek tempeh, cucumber, and chili sauce. Megono usually wrapped in banana leaf to make the smell stronger, becoming savory and delicious. Well, listener, if you are passing through the north coast of Central Java, take the time to try Megono culinary, which is a popular dish in food stalls, restaurants, and street food in the area. When you try, you are guaranteed to feel the pleasure of Megono. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder, read by Ahmad Faisal.
You're
like you.
Listener, here is Miss Eleni that inform you about interesting events that occur in Indonesia. VOA listener, today's Miss Eleni informs you about Bali Culture Festival 2023, which is being held in Sepaku, Penajam Pasir Utara, East Kalimantan. Listener, Sepaku District is located in Penajam Pasir Regency, which is the location of the 0 kilometer point of the capital of Nusantara. Meanwhile, Balik is the name of a tribe that has been living in Sepaku since the pre-independence era of the Republic of Indonesia. However, if we refer to folklore, the Balik tribe has existed since the 18th century under the rule of the Pasir Sultanate. As a native Sepaku tribe, of course, Balik culture will later color the characteristics of the capital city, Nusantara. However, the arts and culture of the Balik tribe have not been well exposed in the Indonesian society. In In order to introduce Balik Tribe or Pasir Balik Tribe to the wider community, the government and Sepaku community are holding Balik Festival from September 22nd to the 24th, 2023. Yati Dahlia, chairwoman of the 2023 Balik Culture Festival Committee, explained that this event is a big stage to showcase and introduce various culture inspired by the local wisdom of the Balik Tribe. It is important to know the culture of the Balik tribe because it will color the uniqueness of the new capital city, Nusantara. Balik tribe has lived in the new capital Nusantara or IKN before Indonesia became independent. Even since the kingdom era, the Balik tribe has been living here. And what we want to show is the typical ronggeng dance of the Balik tribe, traditional medical treatment, and typical foods which will become culinary specialties at the new capital Nusantara in the future. Yati Dahlia said the opening of the 2023 Balik Culture Festival was attended by the head of the IKN Authority, the region of Penajam Pasir, and local government officials, traditional institutions, and the general public. She hoped that with this festival, the arts and traditions of the Balik tribe will be more popular.
Harapannya,
it is hoped that the indigenous tribes in IKN will be known and recognized by the general public who come to IKN along with their culture and customs. The hope is that in the future it can become an annual event. Well, listener, that was Miss Eleni from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Tonight.
Voice of Indonesia.
VOI listener, today's edition of Music Corner presents a keroncong song entitled Dewi Murni by Toto Salmon. The song created by Sari Wono and Ochin Nur Hasim was popularized by Toto Salmon and has also been sung by Mus Mulyadi and other keroncong singers. The song Dewi Murni, or in English means pure goddess, tells the story of the beauty of the goddesses who come down to bathe in the lake of the gods. Well, listener, here is the song by Toto Salmon entitled Dewi Murni. Enjoy!
Dewi Murni berkembangkan sutra rasa semerbak memenuhi angkasa berane biru. Dewi Murni berkembangkan sutra dalam bayi meriah rasa semerbak memenuhi angkasa berakhir. Thank you. bunga-bunga semua serentak mekar menyebar wangi. Untuk menyambut Dewi Murni berkiti
Voice of Indonesia. Of Indonesia.
Rembulan pun nampak suram. hari-hari sunyi, serasa dalam kegelapan. Kecemasan jiwa datang melanda.